This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with adventure travel writer Christopher Solomon. Christopher, it's interesting, when we travel, we do see the impact of climate change. I was just in the Alps, and there are well-established routes for climbing peaks in the Alps that now are no longer considered safe because they're thawing out and there's more rocks tumbling down from what was safe and solid. In the Arctic, you've got this issue of the permafrost actually thawing out. What is the importance of the permafrost and just what's going on with that?
Well, that's certainly a big question mark in the high Arctic. Scientists know that permafrost is, the upper layers of permafrost are starting to thaw, which it both releases more greenhouse gases and it causes all sorts of instability for human activities above them. So with regard to like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, they were supposed to incorporate all sorts of thoughts about what melting permafrost means for trying to put oil rigs on the land. And they did a terrible job of that, according to all sorts of critics who read the...
Oh, so the conventional way of drilling in the Arctic would be to assume you've got permafrost to put your rig on.
Yeah.
And if a little indigenous village is crumbling into the ground because of the thawing of what is supposed to be permanent frost, the same thing could happen to industrial visions.
You need to incorporate how you're going to deal with a changing world, and literally when the ground is changing under you. And that's one of many ways that critics say they're not thinking this oil energy development through.
Chris, it's been so interesting talking with you and learning about a place that, as you mentioned, is just beyond most of our grasp. I mean, it's just a place on the map that nobody goes to. You've been there. Let's wrap up this discussion just with one moment where you thought, yeah, this is really has been worthwhile.
You know, I think of one, and this would probably be one for most of the people on the trip, Rick. We were right on the edge to come into the coastal plain, and we had decided, the guide said, we have great weather. Let's paddle all night long. Again, the sun was up. So we got in our boats and we had dinner at 11 p.m. and we paddled all night long and we paddled through this canyon section and we scared a moose. And at one point we had Dahl's sheep high on the grandstands of the canyon, kind of looking down and, you know, watching our paddling technique. And the sun went sort of behind the mountains in its transit and we were kind of cold and shivering. And then about 3-4 in the morning, we emerge from the canyon and the sun just crashes into us with its that kind of convalescent light of 4 a.m. and just soft and caramely, and just everyone just warmed up and breathed this sort of sigh of relief. And one of the guides said, you know, in the Arctic, morning is a place around here. And we all just, we came to shore. And they cooked up a big breakfast hash at like 4:30 in the morning, and we pitched our tents, and everyone slept until noon. And it was just this amazing kind of set of several hours that I don't think you'd ever have anywhere else.
You wouldn't appreciate it.
No.
You'd go through your whole lifetime not realizing that morning can be a place. Yeah.
And you'd never have that rhythm, I think, anywhere else.
Christopher Solomon, thanks so much for your article, Exploring a Timeless Wilderness Before the Drilling Begins.
Thanks.